good to see you here to sing and study God's Word. And I know you're here because of just what we sang. You love Jesus, and that's why you're in here. And He loves us, and He's got an awesome plan, guys. It's going to be really, really good. Sometimes we go through the tough times. We talked about that a lot. That's part of it. But He's going to get us through every trial, every tough time. And one of these days, we're going to be with Him with new bodies and glorified bodies, eternal bodies. It'll never wear out, never get sick, never get tired. It's going to be awesome. And the older we get, the more we get excited about that, don't we? It's just awesome. So, amen. Well, we're in the Gospel of John, and we've been there for a while, and we're in chapter 10 last time. That's where we're going to be today again, chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. Come on in, ladies. Good to see you. And we were looking last time at this wonderful missions verse. It's John chapter 10, verse 16. And we were talking about the importance of foreign missions, and we were talking about the life of Peter Scott. If you were here, you may remember the great missionary Peter Scott to Africa and the influence that David Livingstone had on Peter Scott when he was at David Livingstone's tomb there. But there's something else in that verse I want us to look at before we leave that verse behind. So we're going to be in that same verse for just a few more minutes here. And I want us to look at the verse, but we're going to pray here first and ask God to speak to our hearts through His Word. And just come on in, ladies. You're doing great. Just come on in. Glad you could be here. Yes. So, there you go. So, let's take just a minute here to pray and ask God to speak to us and thank Him for the singing we've already had, and then we'll see what happens here in the Bible study. Father, we thank You so much for the way You love us. And Lord, when we think about the way You love us, we just want to love You back the best we can. And so, thank You for that song that my wife picked out. And we just pray You to help us to love You more and more and more as time goes on. Thank You so much for all the songs. Thank You that You've given us the gift of song and singing so that we can praise You and give thanks to You and worship You with beautiful songs and singing and the piano and everything, Lord. It's just sweet, and we thank You for that opportunity. Now, Lord, we're coming to look at Your Word, and we thank You that we can talk to You just like this and know that, as my wife said earlier, You're here. You're never going to leave us. You're right here with us in our midst. You're ready to teach us. So, Lord, we pray that we would be teachable. We pray that we will be good listeners, that we will hear You speaking through Your Word. We know these words we're about to read are not manufactured by men. They are Your holy, inerrant, infallible, inspired, powerful Word. So we pray that You would speak to us through Your Word. Help us to listen and learn and grow to be more like Jesus and understand You just a little bit better maybe than we have before, to appreciate You, to be amazed at You and Your plan and the way You work, and to give You great praise and glory because, Lord, You are doing awesome things, and we thank You for that. We thank You that You got the plan worked out from the beginning to the end, and we thank You that we get to be a part of it because of Jesus. So please use us today for Your glory and speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read the verse again. We looked at this last time, but I'm going to focus on just something a little bit different in the verse. John chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus said this. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to My voice." So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's an amazing thing that Jesus says. And it's very interesting the way He said it. And I think it's important to consider His words very, very carefully here in this verse. First of all, He says, "I have other sheep." I have other sheep. It's amazing. That's the present tense. He says, I will have other sheep. He says, I already have them. I have other sheep. That's the way He said it. Those sheep, according to Jesus, have not yet heard His voice. Now they will, but they haven't yet. He said, they will hear My voice, but I already have them. They haven't come to Him yet, but He said, I must bring them. I must bring them also. That's what He said. That's the words of Jesus. And I think these words of Jesus, and his particular choice of these words, I think he did that very intentionally. He wants us to learn something here. And when we really understand what he's saying, when we really understand this, I believe it will give us great confidence about evangelism and great confidence about missions. And I think he wants us to have that confidence. It gave confidence to the missionaries we were talking about last time. You see this same idea in Jesus' high priestly prayer. You may remember that in John chapter 17, we have the longest prayer that Jesus prayed that's recorded in Scripture. Now, he prayed longer than this, really, but this is the one that's recorded in Scripture. John chapter 17, he's talking to his Father, God the Father. And in that prayer in verse 6, this is what he said to God the Father. Listen very carefully. He said, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you, Father, gave them to me. So he's saying, God has chosen these sheep for himself. Yours they were, and then God the Father gave them to the Son. You gave them to me. That's what he said. We also see it in chapter 6 of John, verse 37. He said, all that the Father gives me, there it is again, the Father gives me will come to me. The Father has them before they come to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Before you ever come to me, Jesus says, the Father's already got you. That's what he's saying. I think it's the same thing Paul's talking about. Of course, it's really God inspiring Paul to write this in Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. He said in chapter 1, verse 4, God chose us in Christ. God chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we see the same kind of idea when God spoke to Paul in Corinth. You remember on Paul's second missionary journey, he went down to the city of Corinth and he had a rough time. The Jews there, the Bible says, opposed Paul and reviled him. And Paul said, okay, I'll take the message to the Gentiles. Remember that? That's in Corinth. Mm-hmm. And right then, when he needed some encouragement, God gave him some amazing encouragement. And it's in Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Listen to this. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, now this is when he's in Corinth, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Now listen, why? This is the reason God gives him. For I am with you, Paul, and no one will attack you to harm you. Now listen to this. For I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Do you see the incredible encouragement God is giving Paul here? God's saying, Paul, I've already got these people. They're my people. They're in this city. Now, I know they haven't heard the gospel yet. That's why you're here, Paul. You're going to preach the gospel to them. But you go find them. They're there. I'm telling you, they're there. You go find them. You preach the gospel. They're going to come to me. God says, I've got a lot of folks in this city. That had to be encouraging to Paul. He knows I'm not just preaching out in the air. God's got folks here. And he's going to use me to bring them to himself.
That's wonderful.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It is really, really wonderful. Knowing that God had people there gave Paul encouragement, and he just stayed on the task. He didn't quit until he got the job done, until God was through with him. There was a man who used to be, years ago, the president of InterVarsity. I don't know if you've ever heard of InterVarsity Fellowship, but it's a college Christian organization, and they do a lot of evangelism on college campuses, and they try to help college students grow stronger in the Lord. Well, there was a man who used to be the president. His name was John Alexander. And he said when he was a young man, he had a very shallow understanding of the sovereignty of God and a very shallow understanding of the Bible doctrines of predestination and election. He said he didn't really understand it very well. But later on in life, this is what he said. This is after he'd been a worker in missions for many, many years. Listen to this. He said, at the beginning of my missionary career, I said that if predestination were true, I could not be a missionary. That's what he said in the beginning. Now, he says, after 20 years of struggling with the hardness of the human heart, I say I could never be a missionary unless I believed in the doctrine of predestination. See, he had to know that God had predestined some of those people to come to Jesus. He knew they were out there. He just knew he had a responsibility to go proclaim the word until they came. That's the same kind of encouragement God gave Paul in Corinth. It's the same kind of thing. It gives us hope that Jesus has people among the nations when we do missions work. I have other sheep, he said, which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. Did you hear the word must? That's what Jesus said. If Jesus said must, and he did say must, then he will, right? If Jesus says I must, then you know Jesus will. He's going to bring those whom the Father chose from the foundation of the world to give to Jesus. And did you notice this phrase? They will listen to my voice. They will. There's no doubt in Jesus' words. He didn't say, maybe they'll listen. He didn't say, I hope they'll listen. He said, they will. I've already got them. I know who they are. I'm going to call them. They're going to listen. There's this sense in which we belong to God before the foundation of the world, guys. Before the foundation of the world. And then at the right time, at the right place, somewhere in our life, God opened our heart. He gave us repentance. He gave us faith. He called us to himself, and we said, yes, Lord, I want to be one of yours. And he just put it all together. But it was from before the even he created the world that he had all that planned. He knew who we were going to be. He had it all put together. It's amazing. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say next, because some of these things I'm talking about bother some people. When you start talking about predestination and election, they say, I don't know. Listen, everything I just said is true. It's right out of the Bible. But we have to be very, very careful about our own logic when we talk about these things. That's what gets us in trouble, guys. When we start using our own logic, we don't want to get unbalanced. Because a little bit later in this chapter, Jesus is going to make it very, very clear that one of the keys to understanding all this is our own willingness. You can't take that out. You can't. There will never be, listen to me carefully, there will never ever be anyone who can honestly say, oh man, I wish I could be one of God's elect. I'd love to come to Jesus, but I'm afraid I'm not one of God's elect. Nobody can say that, not honestly. Because if you want to be one of God's elect, seriously, you are one of God's elect. You see, that's how you know. Because he gives you that willingness. We have a willingness to come. Anyone who's willing to come to Jesus can come to Jesus. Anybody that's willing can come. And anytime we talk about this truth of biblical predestination and election and God knowing us before the foundation of the world, it's good to remind us of that other side of that coin. Whosoever will may come. Anybody that's willing. Come on, Jesus says, come on. If you're willing, that means you're one of my called ones. You see it? We got to put the whole thing together. We don't want to leave any of that out. Listen to verse 17. For this reason, here's something else Jesus says. It sounds a little strange at first. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now that sounds a little strange when I first read it. The reason God the Father loves God the Son is because Jesus lays down his life. Is that what he's saying? Sounds like it. Does that make sense? Because in that high priestly prayer I was talking about earlier in John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, you loved me from the foundation of the world. Yeah. So what does he mean here? Of course, Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, right? God had this plan all along. God's plan is an eternal plan. It's not something he concocted and cooked up later. He knew what was going to happen. Sometimes we will hear somebody say, since God is a God of love, he had to create men so he'd have someone to love. And I understand people thinking that way, but that's not quite right, guys. It's not quite right. God didn't really create us because he needed somebody to love. Because there was already love in the persons of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, loved God the Holy Spirit from eternity past. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit loved God the Son. God the Holy Spirit and God the Son loved God the Father. There was love in the Trinity from eternity past. There's always been love in the Trinity. But one of the factors involved in the Father's love for the Son, God the Father and God the Son, one of the attributes of God the Son that God the Father loved was the fact that God the Son was willing to lay down His life for us. Isn't that awesome? From the very beginning. Look at the next verse. He's still talking about this. He said, "No one takes it from me." Jesus wants to underline that in our minds. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." And again, if we're reading superficially and not carefully, and we're not thinking about this, we might say, "Wait a minute, Jesus, what do you mean no one takes it from me? What about Pilate? He handed you over to be crucified. What about Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest? What about Judas? He betrayed you. What about those Jewish and Roman leaders who wanted to kill you? What about the soldiers that nailed you to the cross, Jesus? Didn't they have you crucified? Didn't they take away your life?" And Jesus said, "Not really." No, they didn't. They didn't really take away His life. He wants us to know He gave His life. He gave it willingly, voluntarily. Do you remember back in Luke chapter 4? Jesus got up in a synagogue in Nazareth and He read some verses from the prophet Isaiah. And He said, "This is fulfilled right here in your presence. I'm the one Isaiah's talking about." It was awesome. And you know what the people did? They decided to kill Him because they said, "That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy." It says they rose up and cast Him out of the city. They led Him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw Him down the cliff. But you know what happened there? Jesus just passed through their midst and went on His way. They couldn't kill Him. It wasn't time for Him to die at that point. Many times they made up their mind, "We're going to kill Jesus." They couldn't do it. He walked through their midst. He walked away. One time, you remember, the soldiers came to arrest Him and they came back. They didn't have Him. They said, where is He?" They said, "Never did a man speak like this." They could not arrest Him. You remember that? They couldn't do it. It wasn't time for Him to die yet. That time hadn't come. You remember when Peter struck off the ear of the high priest's servant when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas had come to betray Him and he was going to be arrested and Jesus cut off that ear? I mean, Peter did. And you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Put your sword back into its place, Peter. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? If I want to stop this, Peter, I'll stop it. I'm in charge of this situation." They could not kill Him until He was ready to lay down His life. And so, listen to what He said in Luke 22. He said, "While I was with you daily in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me. But," He said, "this hour and the power of darkness are yours." He's ready to lay down His life now, you see. That's what He did. You remember when He was before Pilate? This is in John chapter 19. Pilate said, "You won't speak to me?" Jesus wasn't answering Pilate. He said, "Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" You remember what Jesus said to Pilate then? He said, "You'd have no authority over me at all unless it were given to you from my Father." Pilate didn't have the authority. God did. Jesus was laying down. Jesus is fully in charge the whole time. And in the fullness of time, they did not take His life. They couldn't do it. Jesus gave it. He gave His life. And then He allowed them to take away His life. But Jesus had to give it first. He gave His life. It wasn't that they finally caught up with Him and took it. Well, this is pretty awesome truth, guys. And this is a good place for us to stop today. Lord willing, we'll pick it up in the next verse next time we come. But I want us just to spend a few minutes here before we stop, before we sing our last song, just to thank God because He's shown us some awesome stuff in His Word today, okay? So let's pray again. Father, You are awesome. And Your Word is awesome. And Lord, we want to thank You that You have a plan that is not just a fix-it plan, but Lord, You've got a plan that You had from eternity past. And Lord, when we look at the world and we feel overwhelmed, Your plan is still at work. And Lord, when it seems like evil and wickedness is winning, we know it's not really. You're going to win. You're the victor. And we have victory in You because of Jesus. And so Lord, we praise You that that's been true from the beginning. And when men rage and when men scream obscenities and when men shake their fists at you, when men persecute your followers, the followers of Jesus, Lord, you laugh at them because you're still in charge and you have an awesome future for your kids and you're calling us out one by one as our time comes to be called and you're redeeming us and you're purchasing us with the blood of Jesus. You've done that from eternity past. And Lord, thank you that you have an incredible future for us with brand new bodies that are never going to wear out. We praise you for this, Lord. Thank you that you've got it all put together from eternity past to eternity future. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing at the right time, at the fullness of time, to lay down your life. Thank you that there's no way the Romans or the Jews or anybody else or Satan or all his demons could have taken your life if you had not chosen to give it willingly, voluntarily. You laid your life down for us that we might belong to you. That truth, Lord, is just so overwhelming, it's hard for us to internalize it. But we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Help us to get this into our hearts and minds more than ever. Help us to have a confidence about our evangelism and about our missions work, knowing that you have people out there that you are drawing to yourself, and we get to be a part of that plan. So use us for your glory. Help us to sing this next song from our hearts and sing it unto you and to bring you praise and glory as we sing. Thank you so much for this sweet people, Lord, and their sweet way they listen and encourage us. Lord, encourage them and bless them and strengthen them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.